Hi, good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sherrod Gutton.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's start with the latest Merdeka Center surveys making headlines, which in the survey saw 69% of respondents saying that they are satisfied with the performance of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as the Prime Minister. Now, the survey was conducted from July 15th to August 10th. And it's interesting to note that the survey found some significant ethnic variances. So 9 out of 10 Malay and Bumiputera from Sabah and Sarawak gave the Prime Minister the thumbs up, while if you look at Indian, 65% of Indian respondents and only 33% of Chinese respondents said that they were satisfied with his performance. And I think that's quite interesting that if you look at the breakdown, Sherrod, we see these variances when it comes to ethnic lines.
Yeah, I mean, ethnic lines also, I think, the survey provides differences in terms of whether there's urban and rural respondents.
Income gap is also another indicator.
Yeah, gender was also included. The question, of course, that is on the minds of everybody is, because if you look at those numbers, is that why? I mean, we know that these numbers are a snapshot in time. They represent people's mood at a particular, historical moment. The question is, you know, what constitutes that support and how dynamic make an image that it gives us of politics in Malaysia and the shifting sentiments that might be on the ground.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to take a look at Merdeka Center's conclusions. So in the release of this survey, they said that the likelihood of the increase in Malay voter support probably takes place on the back of the positive COVID-19 management, and the pandemic has been quite positive management of that on the part of the government. Also, the rapid response in terms of financial aid to those most affected low-income brackets and businesses, that I think has received quite a positive response from these respondents. But also, according to Merdeka Center, their conclusion was that there's been some latent satisfaction when it comes to Malay political parties who, which for decades have been at competition with each other. So I think there was some satisfaction at the coalition of Muafakat Nasional finally coming together in a pact. Those are the conclusions according to the think tank, the pollster.
That may be, but the question, of course, that people might ask is, if it's about the performance in managing the pandemic, then wouldn't you see actually a uniform, kind of sentiment across the
Good
board
point.
In ethnic terms or in even rural divide, unless you can show that for some reason one group fared worse under this the management and therefore felt less inclined to see the government as being successful. I'm not sure whether the COVID performance really explains the personal popularity of the Prime Minister. And it might be that. It might be his personal popularity rather than his government.
Okay.
And, of course, I think we're political scientists. They'd be asking, this personal popularity that he has, does that translate into security in terms of the kind of political configuration now happening? We know there's a lot of jostling.
Yep.
We know that on 31st there was going to be an announcement about the Perikatan Nasional, which didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly because of unhappiness or tensions or competition within precisely what you talked about, the so-called Malay government of Muafakat Nasional supporting Bersatu.
Well, I think is also interesting, Sherrod, in the next few days or so, I'm sure we'll kind of delve deeper into this survey. We'll be speaking to political analysts for their comments on this. But what I think is interesting is the kinds of conversations that this survey, the results of the survey, has triggered, particularly on social media and in conversations. I mean, the first thing to do is that if you can see those who don't agree with the survey will attack the survey and the polling outfit, and those who do agree will see this as validation to precise. And the thing is, this is not anecdotal. This is scientific, not anecdotal. Right?
Yeah, but it's science. Well, the science of polling, I think, is something that's worth discussing. Now, in more mature societies, where at least in terms of its media and polling culture, you might actually have a range of polls. pollsters, right? So you don't have just one single poll to go to.
Right, and the approval rating will also vary.
Yeah, of course, everything varies. The question, I think, at the end of the day, when it comes to looking at these numbers, I mean, you talk about the detractors, right? There are many people very unhappy, it seems, on social media, as there are probably people who are happy, about Pakatan Harapan's very low rating in the survey as well. And the question, I guess, for politicians, if they're not going to just dismiss the survey, is to ask themselves why. What were the things that led to the unpopularity of the Pakatan Harapan government, despite its apparent, you know, laudable and lofty ideals?
Yes, okay, we're going to come back to the survey. Lots of data to unpack in its results. But in other news today, we have the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission saying that it will introduce anti-graft lessons to primary school students starting next year. This is a module that will cover corruption and it will be included in the Bahasa Melayu subject for Year 5 pupils. This is all part of MACC's efforts to increase awareness about graft, particularly among the younger generation. Are you positive about this move, Sharad? Are you happy that our kids will be learning what it takes, what graft is and how to, you know, perhaps prevention of corruption at the younger age?
You know, I think when it comes to teaching people, you know, moral values or ethical, or giving them an ethical compass, they, you know, school is probably going to be a good part of that building of their identity, right? So it becomes almost kind of natural for them to be able to sniff out when something is right or wrong. Mm. But I think it's also a question of your parents, your family, what the role models you have, the political leaders. If young people watch political leaders excuse themselves and try to find reasons to privilege themselves when it comes to law, when you see, you know, the attempts by political leaders to grab positions and get fat salaries. I mean, I think it will, in fact, teach the younger generation to be opportunistic and to think that corruption
Here's where I'm positive. I'm positive about this because I think it allows for an opportunity to actually teach young children, young people, young students, the grey areas. Not everybody understands that corruption does not necessarily involve the exchange of money. We had a guest on the show last night, Shamila Sekran, who talked a little bit about extreme teacher absenteeism, and she talked about how that was a form of corruption. Money need not change hands, but there is a certain benefit to people colluding in corruption where, you know, you are doing it at somebody's expense.
Yes, but ultimately the real bulwark against corruption will be agencies tasked with fighting corruption that are in fact independent, have the muscle to prosecute and to do prosecution in an unselective way. I mean, that ultimately will be the saving grace for our country. Yes, school lessons are fine. I think that's always good to put that in the mix. But I'm
not
think
sure
ultimately
why it's under the BM subject, the Bahasa Melayu subject. That seems a bit odd to me because that's under kind of a language component, or maybe they want to make it part of more compulsory. Who knows, right?
Well, absolutely. But whatever it is, it will add to the conversation, and we can't lose from it, I guess.
Okay, all right. We're going to take a quick break. But after this, we're going to take a closer look at the Upper House of Parliament, Dewan Negara, which convened today and elected its president for the first time. Stay tuned to consider this.